Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios in St. Louis, Missouri. Located on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard over there on the hill. They come out Monday the 12th, September 12th. You can see Tracy Swigert there recording her new record. Monday, 8 p.m. to close. And then Sunday, your friends and mine, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, will be there on Sunday the 18th, recording a loft session. So come out to those events. Check out GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And get involved and come check it out. Book yourself a tour if you haven't been over there. Take a look at what they got going on. They're just a great facility. Some wonderful recordings are coming out of Gaslight right now. There's a lot going on. Check it all out at GaslightSTL.com.
We're waiting for Flynn!
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
See, that's my own fate. It's been a long time coming. You can look at me the same.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Waiting for Flynn. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, this is cool. I'm hanging out here. We're recording this at with the Limp
Brewhouse Studio.
Brewhouse.
That's right.
So So
very unique.
Been down here a couple of times, met up with a few different groups, and it's always interesting down here.
to say
when you can dodge the different sounds,
So, but yeah, I guess I'll start with you guys want to all introduce yourself and say hey. And
Hey, Dustin Brown. Throw down vocals and occasionally write some stuff.
Occasionally.
Yeah, writes all of it.
Primary songwriter.
Primary songwriter, absolutely.
Front man.
I'm Tobin Hall, and I play the drums.
Beautifully.
Well, I play, I guess. I hit things.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm Flynn, and I take everything that Dustin writes, and I completely rewrite it.
And then he keeps his weight.
Yeah, accurate.
And I piss everybody off.
I'm Brian Schultz, and I play bass.
All right. Yeah, I know I've known the name for a little while. I've known Flynn a little bit through through music and stuff, but and we kind of been talking about doing something, and then it's nice that it all worked out here now. You guys, we got a big show coming up this week, and all this. So it was cool to kind of get to sit down and get to talk to you guys, get to know you a little better, and so yeah. Where does Waiting for Flynn get started, guys?
Dustin, you guys got it.
Yeah, Dustin Flynn. I mean, you're the one who masterminded the whole thing from day one, so I'll let you.
Okay. So I was running sound at some little club in
Jumping Jupiter.
Yeah. Jumping Jupiter, that's right. And we'd have like an open mic night type of thing, and Dustin would show up all the time playing acoustic songs, and I just liked his aggression and his vocals, and I dug what he was doing. I thought, one of these days I'm going to steal him from the other players.
And I thought you were a dick. I mean, like, first time he walks on stage, yeah, that mic you're playing is dog shit. You know? Yeah.
And I did say that.
I was like, I hate this guy. I
mean, oh yeah, he hated me big time. And, the whole time though, I planned on stealing him. It took me having to join his band as a bass player to slowly get him away. And I did. So then we started doing an acoustic thing here, the Lemp. But we didn't have a very good room. It was like right in the middle of the building. It was so loud, so we could never rehearse here. So we would just scout out bars around town and just we'd walk in and go, hey, do you mind if we just rehearse here? And they're like, okay. And we would just post up at a bar, like on a Tuesday night.
Play for hours.
Sitting at a table, just, you know, playing the same part of a song over and over. We were like doing a show for them. Right? Yeah. We were just playing the same riff.
Open writing session.
They must have hated us. And just drinking like fish. And it came together that way. So then, one night we're back here. Finally, it's quiet night, and we're going over some songs, and we left the door open. And then you entered.
Yeah, so I was here at the Lemp playing in a couple of other projects, and I was leaving rehearsal, and I heard the sound of two guys playing, strumming the shit out of acoustic guitars. I mean, they play them very powerfully, and the vocal harmonies were fantastic. And I actually was a little frustrated by the rehearsal. I had just left. The vocals weren't quite up to par. And the last band, great players. But I heard these guys, and I stood in the doorway waiting for them to kind of notice that I was standing there. When they did, I caught their attention, and I said, man, you guys sound great. Need a bass player? And they looked at each other, and they're like, we were just talking about that. And so I pulled out a business card, and I said, well, you know, I don't know if you're serious or not, but, you know, give me a call. I'd love to play with you guys. You sound great. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I think the plan for you two was to just be a duo. And they were called, they had a different name. They both they had
a show. We didn't really have a plan.
You were calling yourself Patrick, don't you?
Yeah.
Names, which I thought was a terrible name.
Yeah, we're trying to play Patrick. The Irish thing. And
and he shot it all down.
I said, we should call it Dustin. I'm like, no, we shouldn't. Yeah.
So I gave him my card, and I actually got a call from Flynn like 2 weeks later. And I was still kind of trying to sell myself to him. And I was playing like prog rock and hard rock, and so I sent Flynn some samples of some stuff I've been doing. It was like progressive instrumental rock, and I think he's like, well, yeah, he heard it. He goes, you can play, but I'm not sure, like, you know, you're a fit for us. And I thought I needed to be a different kind of player to be a fit for these guys. So the first few times we played together, I showed up with a bass I don't even play right now, and I was playing a very different style of bass, and I think you guys like me, but I think the more I let my real personality come out as we played together, the more you started liking it more.
Yeah.
And I think when I finally just decided to play the way I would normally play instead of how I thought I should is when things started gelling.
Yeah.
And then the next important ingredient comes into the equation, and that's Mr. Tobin. Because once we had rehearsed enough with just me, we were ready to take it to the next level. And Flynn all along was like, I got a drummer for us.
But he had been telling me that since I was playing with the other band. Yeah, I got this drummer you got to play with. I'm going to steal you from these guys, and you're going to play with it. I'm like, yeah. All right, Flynn, whatever.
And then and then Toby shows up, and these guys are basically lifelong friends, Toby and
yeah,
Flynn.
Yeah, absolutely. We went to high school together, yeah.
I mean, I didn't know anything about Tobin, but I will say for a drummer and a bass player, I mean, that connection is really important. And as soon as we started playing together, I felt an instant connection with
yeah,
this guy.
It was, it
there was
immediate.
A groove, and I was, I mean, I had a shit-eating grin on my face from the moment we started playing, and it just felt so good.
Yeah.
I could have stayed, and we've been in like a couple other rooms since the room that this all started in here at the LEMP. But I could have just stayed in that room playing with Toby and you guys and been happy if we never even went anywhere else.
I remember it, too. With Toby went for a smoke break, and you looked at me, and you're like, he plays the pocket! Oh, yes, he does!
Yes. It was just, it just flowed so naturally.
Yeah,
so
it was an immediate connection. And, of course, Michael and I, we went to high school together, you know, so we've known each other for quite a while.
We also toured like 8 countries together.
We did a USO tour together, and but up until this project, which I guess is a couple of years in the making now, yeah. I guess, right?
I think it's been almost 3 years.
Michael and I hadn't played together for about 15 years or so. You know, I was in the blues and jazz scene for a while here in St. Louis and toured with a few bands. Michael was hitting me up about this project, and the scheduling conflict just wouldn't, you know, it's just like we just couldn't get the damn thing together.
Right.
And, you know, finally, I think it was probably a Tuesday or Wednesday night or something like that, you know, I was able to come down, and it was an immediate connection. I knew that, you know, Mike and I would kind of, you know, go back into the same groove, but...
When I heard
Dustin's voice, it was like, well, shit, there's, you know, that's the key ingredient right there. And then this guy walks in with the bass, and it's like, all right, you know, we're kind of sizing each other up. And within 30 seconds, it was like, fuck, where's this guy been all my life, you know? Which, and funny enough, I had played with his brother in a previous band back in the early 2000s.
Right.
I was playing with a British guitar player out of Canterbury, England, a cat named Rob Garland, tremendously talented guitar player. He's in Los Angeles now. He's got a trio. And Brian's brother Dave came in and played with us for about a year, I guess, and another wonderful bass player. But he had moved on to another project, and probably about 6-7 months after Dave left the band, Robbie decided to move to Los Angeles, so it was all kind of, you know, starting to fall apart. And I didn't play with anybody for about 5 years. I just got away from it. We held that gig for 5 or 6 years, you know, playing consistently 5 to 6 gigs a week, you know. So I got to live the dream for a little while, be a working musician, you know. But just like anything else, you know, when it becomes a job, it's kind of like, you know, at any point, if I'm like, shit, I've got a gig today, you know, like it's a hassle. Like, what the hell? What is that? Why, when did that happen, you know? Then it was time to kind of back off, and I tend to do that sometimes. I've got to get away from it for a while. I get too inside my head, and I'll either start overplaying or my confidence level will just kind of.
We don't let him back off here.
No. Yeah, they don't. They don't
I
really
encourage him to overplay.
Yeah,
for sure.
But you know, still, it's you have to play for the song regardless of the instrument. You know, I mean, if you're not, then. I mean, we can sit in this room and, you know, jerk each other off all day. And, I was fucking sick. And you listen back to the song and go, why did I play that? That lick had nothing to do with anything that was going on at the time whatsoever, you know. So I'm very blessed to have these guys in my life and that they give me the freedom to play and be a part of the writing process. You know, as a sideman, as a drummer, I don't get that opportunity all that often.
Well, that's why I love Toby so much is... there are two types of drummers. There are drummers and there are musicians. And it's not a slam against anybody, but Toby, I consider a musician because he is always thinking about the song. Sure. He's not thinking about the drums. He's just thinking, what can I give to this song? What can I take away from it? How can I change it, make it better? He's listening to me. He's playing off of me. I mean, a drummer playing off a guitar player. This is so bizarre to me. But
that was one of the first things I ever noticed when you came in, was the two of you playing together. It freaked me out.
Right.
Because, like, you expect a bass player and a drummer to connect, but I had right. never seen a guitar player and a drummer connect like that.
Right.
I mean, it was like you guys were of one mind. And I was like, well, maybe I should just put the guitar down and just sing. Right. I can't keep up, but they let me stay.
Well, you're an integral part of the rhythm section, brother. Yeah. You know, it really has to be.
Hanging on a piece of wood.
That's why it hasn't fallen apart yet.
But Toby is probably the most musical drummer I've played with, I mean, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's very kind.
He's actually so,
that's very kind.
I thought you were.
There's, wait, I thought you were. Fun was. If there's anything that St. Louis has, it's amazing musicians. There is a talent pool that is very far-reaching here in St. Louis, especially drummers. You know, I mean, there are, I could name names for the next hour and a half, you know. I mean, there really is a talent pool here that is above and beyond.
For sure.
And any night of the week, you can go out and see amazing players anywhere in Soulard. You know, the rock scene is still kicking. St. Louis kind of comes in waves, I think, as far as original music is concerned. And I think we're on an upswing at this point, you know. The tribute thing is pretty hot now,
sure.
You know. So, but most of those cats that are in those bands, they've all got original projects, you know. And they'll tell you that that's where their heart lies, you know, in the creative process, not just rehashing, you know, the old stuff. Not that they don't do it very, very well, but you know, if we're creating, it's a completely different vibe, and that's why we picked up instruments in the first place.
You know? Yeah, I've been trying to do my part just to document it all. I feel like there is definitely something happening, you know, right now with, you know, St. Louis music, and I've just been trying to, you know, document it all the best I can, and hopefully someday, you know, down the road, where we look back and we're like, man, there was, you know, that was it right there. Like there was, right. There was so much cool stuff happening, you know, that moment and stuff. So I.
Well, we thank you for it, man. Yeah. We need more cats like you.
You're like an archiver. What was it back in the 90s, the video show that... Velocity, was it?
Oh, that we played?
Well, but they kind of do what you do back then, but in video.
Yeah.
It was like, when you look at it, it's like really shitty, you know, mm-hmm. lo-fi video, but he was doing all the bands, you know. I think it was Velocity.
I think that's what it was called, too, yeah. There's a...
set up and play live.
There's a video of me, you, and Danny, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I think I was tripping mushrooms. I think it was... God, we were babies, man. I was probably still a teenager. Mike and I moved up here with a mutual buddy of ours, Dan Martin, another wonderful bass player in town. That plays a lot with a cat named Clint Wilson, which if you've never... seeing Clint Wilson play. He plays with Trixie DeLight. He's also got his own solo thing going.
That guy's playing.
He's a guitar player, yeah.
He is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. You know, he's a complete asshole.
No, he's not. He's one of the sweetest guys.
I'm joking. He's a fucking...
But he's an asshole.
He's a wonderful guy. He toured Europe with Michael and I. He's just a hell of a guy and just a ridiculous musician. And his... He's as humble pie as they come, man. But
I think I saw him actually at Rival Sons show the
other
night.
Oh, we were there.
Really? No, we were there. Yeah, Clint was there. Yeah,
was he?
Yeah.
If you would have showed up,
Shane, I'm surprised I didn't see you in the crowd. Man.
Yeah,
right. As big as you are, you know, man.
Oh yeah, those guys. I loved
them. Oh, they threw down, didn't they? Yeah, man.
Yeah, and that's like for me, like you know, I love catching bands kind of on the way up, and I mean, obviously those guys are, you know, full fledged rock stars on tour with.
Black Sabbath,
and stuff, but I got to catch them a couple of years ago. They did a show at it was then Mojo's, now it's Rose Music Hall in Columbia.
Okay,
and I saw them in this, like, you know, a little dive bar,
right,
shotgun kind of venue there. And the next night they were opening for Sammy Hagar at the amphitheater. So it's like,
right,
but it was cool to see them with like 40 people in a
sure.
bar.
Right.
So, and
they're just phenomenal.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, they are. There were another one of those bands where, you know, the first time I heard them, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or so, it was another like, Jesus, where have these guys been? You know, they're like saving rock and roll.
Sure.
You know, you listen, it's like, Jesus, where have these guys been all
Thank
our lives?
God.
You know, right? I mean, they really
don't
are.
Go.
The lyrical content, the talent in that band. I mean, you know, that's some meaningful shit right there. And, you know, the way the cat gave props at the end of the show.
Sure.
To everybody, you know, the lighting guys and all the techs. I mean, he didn't have to do that. You know,
I think that's how they got to where they're at. Like, I mean, they appreciate the people that support them, and they've, you know, I mean, it goes a long way when you have the, you know, the fan support and stuff, and like, and you appreciate everybody that's there helping you out to get to where you are. Like,
right.
Like, you know, it only helps you get to even bigger. You know, it's like,
sure.
So I mean, because like for me, you know, just like that, like you want to root more for that guy. But,
of course, yeah.
They're just good dudes, you know. So it's
right,
like,
yeah. You know, what's a good guy to win?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It helps that the good guy can sing.
Yeah,
the walls off of a room.
Right, right. There's too many assholes out there right. singing the walls off. Right. What the good guy?
And he is anything but. And the last thing that guy would need would be auto tune or anything like that. You know, I mean, those cats, they've got it, man. They've got the look, they've got the attitude, and they're doing it right. I hope nothing but the best for those guys.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got to hang just a moment with with Jay and Scott back behind the venue. And,
oh, right on. Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, like I said, they're very, very nice guys. Just, you know, very gracious that people come out to the shows and listen to the music and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it was, you know, taking the time to autograph and take pictures and stuff is that's cool for me.
Well, absolutely, so, man. Yeah.
I mean, you know, on a much same level though, but like I'm at Slash backstage, and like again, like a guy who's been doing it forever, and then like, and then still took the minute to take, you know, sign autographs and stuff. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was Slash and Miles Kennedy at
right.
I've seen him a couple times. He puts out a great show.
Yeah, sure. There's another cat that can blow, man. That
Miles
is
one of the best singers
like,
in
holy
rock.
Shit,
in my opinion. Besides Dustin, I mean.
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Yes, of course, Dustin is. Well,
this guy's good.
Come out Thursday and you'll see.
One of the best singers in the limp.
Without a doubt.
Wait, wait, in this room.
You know, there
wait,
are.
Wait, no.
You know, I would say there are some great bands in play, but I will tell you, every once in a while, I have to leave this room to take a little break. And on the way, walking back in, if I ever hear Flynn and Dustin just singing, it reminds me of why I'm in this band. These two guys, their voices combined, is a very special combination.
Absolutely, man. It really sets it in motion, and it's that's an important part of it, you know, because there's enough shit out there that is auto-tuned and not played by a musician, you know. That's just, I don't know when it happened that it just the music industry is all about just how you look. I mean, your talent doesn't, like, I don't even give a shit. As long as you're good-looking enough to be out there in front of people, I'll make you sound however you need to sound.
Yeah.
And what the hell? And people eat that shit up, you know. Because,
sure.
You know, I guess in their defense, I mean, they don't know any different. You know, and if you turn all that fucking equipment off, and they're up there, you know, dying,
right,
with fucking 40,000 people around them, you know, it'd be a different story. But
it's just
money. You know?
Say that as you're sitting in front of like 35 pedals of mine.
None of them are auto tuned.
There's no auto tune there.
Right. There's no auto
tune. Like 7 feet.
You're saying, you know, you're still playing your instrument.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
I mean,
sure,
you know, and as a drummer, I mean, I think music is turning around to where, you know, musicians will get more studio work and session work and things of that nature now, because people are, they're getting sick of all the drum machine bullshit, you know, and it's time that we all get back in and start making music again, you know, and not just pushing a damn button. And yeah, it's more honest, you know.
I think, I definitely, you know, we were saying how, like, I feel like there is kind of this, a movement, a change happening. I mean, even you look at just like a lot of the stuff on the radio and things, like there's a lot more, you know, guys like Jason Isbell and Sturgill Simpson and these Chris Stapleton, these like actual singer songwriters
right.
who are making, you know, are finally getting radio
yes.
play.
Right.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I mean, and these guys are singing from the heart, you know, singing real stuff and not just about beer and pickups and girls and stuff.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Isbell.
Exactly.
Oh my God. He blew my mind. I heard that record. I'm like, Jesus Christ, from song one.
Right.
I was like in tears. I'm like, this is great. This is the stuff that I've been such a horrible critic about music, like pop music. You know, I'm always the guy that's the asshole's like, it sucks. This is not the other. But guys like him come up. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. It's so from the heart. It's so from the soul. There's no bullshit there.
Right.
It's so just desperately honest and confessional.
Sure.
I love that. I don't want to write any other way than
right.
that.
Right. And it doesn't matter the genre. I mean, you know, as musicians, of course, you know, we can... We'll see through your bullshit.
Right.
You know? But as listeners, I mean, it. You know... good songwriting is good songwriting, you know?
I mean, that's why I love him, Dustin.
Yeah.
His songs are very honest. They're very heartfelt. You know? They're not bullshit at all. And they, you know, sometimes they like go above and beyond. I'm like, I'm not sure. I think some of his topics and what he's trying to push through, it goes above me. And I'm missing it, you know, because maybe I'm not supposed to understand, but then I'll go back and I'll read the lyrics like out of context, you know, like out of the music.
Right.
I'm like, holy shit, he's saying that?
Right. He does.
It sounds different when we're all banging on instruments, right. You know, and I'm harmonizing with you, but reading on the paper, like, wow, that's really like you're opening yourself up.
I did the same exact thing when he emailed us those lyrics for the newest one, the McCollum tune.
Yeah.
It was another one of those things. It was like, how the hell is he getting all those lyrics in? And it makes sense. It's not like he's forcing a square peg in a round hole. You know, they fit and they're meaningful. And what it might actually mean. what it might actually mean versus, you know, the way it might touch someone else. And that's the wonderful thing about music, I guess, is that it's what it means to you.
Sure.
And just leave it at that. You know, it doesn't have to be explained. You know, it's just whatever the song means to you. A good song, fuck, man, that shit will change your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's... There have been times, you know, when I'm behind the kit on a few different gigs, where I'll just weep. It's so amazing, you know? And it's like I said, that's why we got in the first place.
He hasn't cried yet in here, so...
Is that right?
We've been talking about other gigs.
You better weep today.
There was
come
was
see our gig. Show and watch Toby weep.
I was playing a tune... with Robbie at Beale on Broadway one night, and he played this tune at my wedding. It's "Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying." It's a Ray Charles tune, and I did, man. I broke down on stage. I was weeping. I was crying. There were tears hitting my snare drum. You know, it was.
It's a lyric right there.
It's emotional as it can be.
Tears on my snare drum.
You know, but yeah, that's the wonderful thing about it. It's like, you know, it's what the song means to you personally, and just.
Sure.
Leave it be.
It's kind of crazy too how like I've been noticing a lot, like, you know, can hear a song a bunch of times and then like, you know, I like it, it's fine, but then all of a sudden like I'll hear it at a certain point in my life where it totally changes everything, you know. It's like
right.
all of a sudden like, yeah, all like recently the song Atlantic City, Bruce Springsteen,
right.
The band, all the different versions. But well, I don't know why, but all of a sudden, like, that version, like, I heard the song, like, shortly after my grandmother passed.
Right.
And, like, so now, whenever I hear, you know, like, the lyric, you know, it says, like, everything dies, baby, that's a fact, you know.
Right.
Everything that dies someday comes back. And, like, then when I heard that, like, so now I always, like, think of my grandmother when I hear
right.
that song. I don't, really, other than that lyric itself, it has nothing to do with other stuff. But I
right.
all of a sudden that changed everything for me on that song. So like
sure.
that song makes me emotional now
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And like,
so, awesome.
And that's
yeah,
the, that's
sure.
the beauty of the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
You know?
If you can't get emotional about it, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to know you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
I want everybody to be emotional about music or art or poetry, something.
Yeah.
Something you can, you know, attach yourself to.
You have to...
explain your existence
right.
or at least get through it.
Exactly.
With it.
Exactly, man. And music is... it's just so damn powerful in that way, you know? It really is a gift, you know?
Yeah.
Or a curse.
Well, I mean, it can be. It's all in how you look at it, you know. But
depends who you ask.
You know,
ask my wife. Is it a gift or a curse? I'm just kidding.
Well, that's like the Shooting with Annie album, Grape Stain. So there was
sick
a couple,
album,
yeah, yeah. Right?
Sick.
So there were a couple songs on that. Literally, I would hear him, and I'm like, man, the stuff he is singing about is just fantastic. And so I start talking to him. He's like, do you even know what those lyrics mean? What do you think those lyrics mean? And so I told him, and he's like, that's right. I didn't think anybody got that. But it was brilliant. I mean, and it connected instantly, even though he was writing from a place I'd never even been. Sure. Attached to something else that I had. I thought it was great.
Well, that's why I love singing with him, because I'm a lead singer as well in that band. And to work with him on these songs vocally, I come at it not as just a backup. You know, I come at it as a lead singer, and I'm thinking about the lyrics, I'm thinking about the vocals, I'm thinking about the harmonies and all that, and how I would have sold it, or maybe how I wouldn't have. But I love playing second fiddle to another lead singer. I love just having him like just create this melody, and I'll just dance around on top of it, you know, and sing harmonies up high, sing low, and just, and you know, callbacks, and well, I do everything I possibly can to keep singing.
Right. I love the
because I want to be a lead singer.
Right. When we write, our phrasing is like it's vastly different. So we'll take the same guitar parts. Like he gave me two chords. This was when we first started playing together. He's like, write a song with these. So I went home that night and I wrote a song and I came back. And he's like, that is the exact opposite of the way that I would have written that song. And so then he shows me what he would have done. And I mean, they sound night and day. It's the same two chords as all
right.
It was. And now
right.
it's You for a Little While we play now.
Was that the one?
That's the one. So I mean, still to this day, if we did it his way, it'd sound like a totally different tune. And it would have been equally as good, if not better.
Now he's out of it.
Unfortunately, I'm singing it, so. You're doing it my way.
It's a great song. Yeah.
It is a good song, you know. And I don't mean that to sound arrogant, but I think there's some good songs in this band. You know, I really do. And of course, we have a biased opinion because we're the ones making the music. But to sit back and listen to it, you know, I think people will enjoy it. You know, I really do.
So you guys are currently in studio, right?
Yep.
Sawhorse.
Yep. We've been in there a couple times. We start out with we want to do like an EP type of thing, like a short release. You know, we went in there and cut like the core tracks, and then some time was taken off, primarily because of me. And then we got back together and like, well, we got to finish this. And we're like, well, let's go back in there and cut some more and add more. So now we've got eight tunes, and it just needs some, you know, some light finishing, and then we'll release it.
And what a great studio, too. I mean,
Jason's
master, you know, behind the board.
That studio is like nothing I've ever witnessed. From the minute I stepped in there, it's just, it invites you in, you know. And Jason McIntyre is just such a wonderful dude.
He is
incredibly talented. And the time that he takes, you know, time that he doesn't need to, but that's, you know, he's a musician. I mean, that cat loves this shit.
Yeah,
you know, you can tell that he loves it. It's not just a 9-to-5 gig. And I've been fortunate enough to play in some very nice studios, and not that they weren't inviting, but there's something about that place, man, that it just sounds amazing, and it's laid back, and you don't feel like time constraint. You know, it's just amazing. I'd love to play there every damn day.
Yeah, but 10 hours creep on you.
Jason's his attitude is tattooed all over that place. You know, he'll diffuse a tense situation. You know, where you're up against the wall musically, you're just like struggling to make that part work. It's just not working. He will break that wall down. You know, and he doesn't press you for time. And, and you know, and he's funny as fuck.
Oh my god, man, that's fucking hilarious. He could be a stand-up comic.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, it's like we were there, working on one of our tunes, Farewell, and there's this guitar part, well, there's this part we all play together, and I could not get it on guitar. I mean, I was behind the beat every time, and I was getting frustrated. I'm like, whatever, just cut me out of it, let these three guys play, and I'll just stop playing. And Jason's like, hey man, just play it one more time. I'm like, all right, fine, run it again. And of course, I got it that time.
He's got the Vulcan mojo.
Yeah, he does. He just turns on that little mic in your ears, and it's like, hey, man.
But you know what, though? A lot of the really great indie bands in town, they all go to Jason, man. I mean, looked at the RFT and see who's at the top of the list. Number one this, number one that. Typically, they recorded with Jason. Yeah. A lot of them.
Yeah. Sure.
He's the man.
Yeah. He's just so talented.
We've had a lot of people on the show that all, they all echo the same sentiment. You know,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, do we... Not to put anything on dates on it, but are you guys having an expected release you're hoping for? Or
I'd like to see it out before, you know, before Christmas.
The name of the band is Waiting for the
Release. God, I hate this.
Yes, right. He does hate the
See,
band.
He literally he had an excuse because his gear was missing for like what, 6 days.
Two weeks. Come on, you gotta give
me an excuse.
Yeah, so if anything, you know, come down on Thursday and see Michael play his recovered equipment.
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's a pretty hell of a pretty awesome thing right there.
Yeah, that's I just found out when I got here that anybody that doesn't know the story, your stuff was stolen and now returned,
yep,
right?
So. That's right. Car was stolen, gear in it. Car didn't come back, but the gear did, yeah. Which was the opposite of what I thought would happen.
Right.
I thought they returned the car, like, kind of crushed up like a beer can. Right. Here you go, Michael. Is the gear in it? Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, because, yeah, it's sad that that's, like, a common thing now. Like,
it
like,
is.
It really is. It's all too common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you keep hearing the stories of people getting all their stuff stolen and... But it's nice to at least to hear a couple of good ones in the middle there where they actually people got their stuff back. And,
yeah. That's right.
And people are paying for it and stuff. So
that's right, man.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Very happy. And this old acoustic is just a piece of junk. It's floated down a river, but I've written every song in the last 15 years in this thing, and I can play this thing to shreds, and I wouldn't play another guitar.
Yeah.
And it's good to have it back. You know, I felt a little guilty with the police, you know. I even told the police, I'm like, I'm just a stupid musician who lost some toys.
Yeah.
You know, you got 10 guys on this thing, like a murder investigation. Come on, I'm feeling guilty. He's like, it's our job. Yeah. You get it. You're lucky. Yeah, sure. So matter of fact, you
right.
know.
Yeah.
Right. You know, then they give it back to me, and I wanted to hug them. I'm like, that's probably not going to work out.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, an enormous shout out to the Creepcore Police Department.
Oh, yeah,
and. And a Detective Jeff Schultz, in particular, that guy
right.
went above and beyond in that situation.
He did.
The strong
and you know this.
That's the guy I wanted to hug.
I mean, that's. Oh, I'm sure. You know, and unfortunately, like I said, it happens all too often, and this is just a very fortunate situation that we were able to recover this equipment.
Yeah.
And there's too many guys that aren't going to have that opportunity.
Sure.
Know? My pickup was stolen back in 2001, and the one night I left my damn cymbals in it, and in the wind, and all I can do is listen to tracks that I cut with them, and it breaks my damn heart yeah. every time. I had this little 9-inch splash cymbal every time I hear it, I fucking lose my mind, and I was like, oh my god, it was the greatest sounding cymbal, and she's in the wind, man,
yeah.
you know.
Someone else probably used it as an ashtray. Right.
Yeah, you know, it's some asshole's garage. He's got his fucking tools and shit yeah. on it and keys in it. It's a keytray.
I felt crappy about the whole thing because there's so many guys I know out there that, you know, they got gear stolen. And they're, like, they're career musicians, right?
Yeah.
They're out there. They don't have a day job other than playing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, when their gear gets stolen, they're hosed,
sure.
right? I mean, I got a day job. I can go back to it. I'm going to cry. You know, but
right.
you know, it's just I don't know. Just I almost wish the ball of good luck fell on somebody else. You know what I mean? Like one of these guys coming through town, playing a gig for $50. They drove 200, 300 miles to get here, and all the shit gets lifted.
Yeah, and all the
that's
shirts,
the guy.
Right. Yeah,
I would prefer to get his gear yeah. back. I would trade these in for that band.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
That sucks.
Yeah, no, it's yeah. I mean, it seems like for a while there it was like, you know, every other day or weekly that you get online and you read some touring
yeah.
band roll through town
yep.
and everything got swiped and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like I don't know, but yeah,
and it's all over the country.
Sure,
know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it got to the point where, and I don't know if it'll finally lift off or not, but you know. Bands don't want to come through St. Louis.
Yeah.
Specifically for that damn reason. Or even in Nashville or Memphis or huge music towns. You know, cats don't want to go down there. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Right.
You know? I mean, these assholes are taking these bands away from us.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. There are. I've been seeing more people, like, you know, there's like these, all these different GPS locks and all these other things.
I've been looking at
a lot of more security options. People are trying to, you know, they're trying to, you know, say, be smart about this stuff. You're going to be out there on the road. You need to have, you know, all your stuff taken care of.
Absolutely, man. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to be, you know, obviously foolproof, but I mean, definitely make sure.
Yeah, take every precaution you possibly can. Anyway, you know.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, come see the. All Flynn's gear again.
Man. Come see all of it, baby. That's right. He plays the shit out of it, too. So,
Thursday, September 15th, you guys will be at Off-Broadway.
Correct.
With, is it Melodyne?
Melodyne, yeah. Out of Phoenix, Arizona. They're a wonderful band, man. It's going to be a great night. I'm telling you, those guys are badass.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to open a show. There's another cat that's playing.
There's some opener.
I forgot the name.
Dadgummit.
But get there early, catch him too.
He's a guy. He has a guitar.
Yeah,
he goes on.
And you'll see him.
I'm so sorry. I can't remember the guy's name. What an asshole thing to do. When's the Doors?
Hey, name like 7 o'clock? I apologize.
Right. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I can't remember his name. Yeah. God, that's not right.
He's going to get it.
That's not right. I think Doors maybe at 7, you know. So yeah, man, you know, get there early and you know, come and support all of us, you know. Don't just show up for one group.
Sure.
If you buy tickets online, they're a little cheaper. So
I think it's $10 for tickets and $12 the day of show at the door.
Yeah, if you're a Creve Corps cop.
If you're a Creve Corps police officer, please, you know,
come on in,
hit us up. And,
would that be funny if I got the audience?
It'd be fucking great, man.
Or just wearing blue and badges.
Right, yeah, that would be awesome.
On duty.
Holy shit! Hey, I'm not driving home tonight. Right. I got a driver.
Right.
Brian Rainey.
There it is.
All right. Yeah. There it is, man.
Yeah.
And what time's Brian hit, right? When's the doors open?
Should be, I think, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, he's all right. Cool, man. So get there early and check us all out, man. You know, I want to support everybody involved. Like I said, Melodyne, it's going to be a hot show, man. You know, so I think you guys will enjoy it. Come on out.
I can't wait, man. I'm ready.
Well, you guys said you had a couple of tunes you want to throw on here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Give people a little taste of what's to come.
Absolutely, man. What do we got?
We'll send some tracks. I was thinking, What's the Point? Maybe Stay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You for a Little While could be a good one.
Yeah, there's a couple out there.
Sure. You want any stories you guys care to share about those songs or anything like that?
He wrote them.
The man over there in that chair, he wrote them. Man.
Most of them have been around for a while.
That's the other thing. Some of these dudes have been around long before we
got together. What's the Point is our newest song, and I think what's great about it, and I want to say this about this band, is this is such a democratic environment. And, you know, Toby was saying what a joy it is. He's, you know, considers himself a sideman, but everybody here is, even though Dustin writes the songs, we're all able to contribute parts to these songs. Even if there's a chord progression or a melody, we all get to come in and add something else to it. And for me, what's so fun is I've been in bands where maybe I was told I was playing too much. I happened to express myself through my bass. I don't sing, so I play. And I play what I feel. Some guys like it, some guys don't. In this band, I'm constantly being told to play more. Even when I'm, when I think I'm playing too much. And What's the Point is a song that Dustin wrote, but we all democratically in this room wrote it together from the skeleton that Dustin brought in.
Yeah, I think that was the first song that we really all of us came together and put our kind of stamp on it. That was the first true song that we wrote.
I think
as
it's
a
our
group.
Best song.
I think most of the songs are written by him and me. I kind of cut them up and then we deliver them to these guys.
And then we do our thing. But
yeah, what's the point?
It's a great song. That. I think it was like everything kind of the stars aligned and. I think it's a great reflection of the way we work, the way we write, the way we think together.
Amen.
I'm really proud of it. It sounds great the way it was recorded at Sawhorse. Jason did a great job, and I know
it's not done yet. Yeah.
I don't know if our song's ever been done according to some of the people in this band.
Right.
but it's definitely one that we'll be sharing with you.
Yeah,
and looking forward
definitely.
To playing on Thursday night.
I got a buddy, Scotty's a bass player, that I let him listen to it. You know, they're not done, but every now and then I'll sneak him out and let somebody hear it.
It's pretty done.
And one of his first comments, he's like, man, each one of you is doing so much. And he's like, but it just fits together. And I was like, you know, that's a good way to describe what that song sounds like. I mean, if you listen individually, the bass is doing a ton of stuff. Drums are just, they melt my mind every time I hear the song. This guy, it's like he wrote the song himself. It's beautiful. And then he and I on guitars and vocals, it's just a lot of stuff going on.
It is a lot going on.
It sounds together. Sure. Pretty, I like it.
It does. Yeah.
Fun, man.
Yeah. I think people will really enjoy that one.
Yeah. I do find that, you know, what's fun about a band is, you know, like you've kind of what you guys have all been saying this whole time. You guys are four guys from various, you know, backgrounds and all this stuff, but it all comes together and works as one, you know, one thing. And it's just, it's cool to see it all come together in the form of a song like that. And
oh, absolutely, man.
Yeah, we would not be this band if any one of these people was not. I think it would be over.
Yeah, it really is one of those things. And that's kind of, you know, well, it isn't kind of. It's rare.
Yeah. That,
you know, I mean, really keeping a band together is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, but with these group of guys, it's a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
You know, it really is, because we all want to be here.
Right.
And it really does work, you know. And I've been on gigs to where I don't even know who the hell I'm playing with until I get to the gig, and hope I know somebody.
That's,
you know, and it's just like, here's the set list,
I would
and
hate
you can start
that.
Playing, you know. And it, so it's like, and some guys, yes, some guys play better with other players, you know. And it's not to downplay anybody individually. It's just, you know, you have a certain connection. It might sound great to the audience. But you know, players know whether or not they're really clicking on stage.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've been blessed to be with these guys for quite a while, and I hope it continues.
Sure. Yeah. Well, again, September 15th, Thursday night. Come on out to Off Broadway.
Yeah.
See these guys. We got Facebook. You guys are on there.
Facebook, Reverb Nation. Yep.
Yeah, and then so you can get. Get involved online, and then keep an eye out for the record coming soon.
Yeah, and more gigs to come.
And more gigs to come, most definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool, guys. I appreciate you taking some time out to do this. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having us.
I can't thank you enough, buddy. Thank you for what you're doing, and please continue to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not slowing down. I'm just, you know, there's no shortage of talent in this town, like we talked about. So
indeed.
There's still many people on the list to get around to, and that's kind of the fun thing too, is like, once I've, you know, not that I'll ever hit the end of the list, but it's like, you can always circle back around and catch up with people later. And,
sure,
and
absolutely, man.
See what the new record's about and all that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
But cool. No, I appreciate you guys, and like I said, hopefully I'll see you guys Thursday night. And,
cool. Cheers.
It'll be great to have you there, man.
Yeah.
We'll only charge you double.
Okay. Great. That's fair. Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, man.
What's the point in conversation? Every time we talk, we each just choose our sides. Rather soon than later, I'll be bending and always walk away in my own right mind. I know Billy in a place we'll stay in. No, and our dude's side. I'll turn around for running like every other matron. I am yours. The way that we got and made it on the brighter side. Got it wrong. point? What's the point? What's the point? What's the point here?
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.